Anyway, this morning we are closing our series on freedom in Christ. Paul continues to come back to this topic in the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians because it's such a big and foreign concept to those that have a religious upbringing. For those back then, and really for us today. Well, I think that Paul was a bit wild-eyed, a bit unpredictable, if you will. I think that Paul and I could totally get along. He was a man's man, Paul was. He was a man's man. He was like Jesus in that he was a bit sarcastic. And he loves sports. I mean,
I could totally hang out with that guy, right? I love sarcasm. I love sports. I love Jesus. Like this is we're good here. Well, I think he did anyway. Love sports. If he didn't, he sure did talk about sports a lot. I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul talks about sports constantly in his letters. He makes sports references in 1 Timothy, and in 2 Timothy, and in Philippians, and in 1 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians. I mean, he just, over and over again, he uses sports analogies to talk about faith. So today's scripture is one of those passages. If you have a Bible this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians 9. If not, it'll be on the screen. 24 to 27, it says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Today, we're going to pull out a few ideas from this text and see what Paul was instructing the church at Corinth to do, and also to see how this might apply to us. So here's the first idea I want us to look at, and that's this. And that's verse 24. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." And the question becomes, well, how do we win? How do we win in our lives? How do we win in our Christian life? How does that work? And I think there's several ways here laid out, but the first one of those is that you play to win. You play to win. Now, if you're going to play at all, you should be out to win. You should be out to win. This is what Derek Jeter said. He said, "If you're going to play at all, you're out to win. Baseball, board games, playing Jeopardy, I hate to lose." That's Derek Jeter. Does it sound like Derek Jeter? I mean, that's like, for those of you that know who Derek Jeter is, that's a very Derek Jeter quote, I think. My favorite quote on winning is from Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards said, "Hello, you play to win the game." Let's show the video.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
I love that quote. I love it. And he's been made fun of for that over for 10, 15 years since he said that. And but he's a great man. I mean, he's just inspiring to talk, to listen to, if you ever hear him speak. But he's a, you play, I just spit really big. You play to win the game. And I think when it comes to our Christian walk, our faith, when it comes to life for us as followers of Jesus, is that we need to start playing to win. Let me be clear about this really early, all right? Our lives, of course, are not a game. I'm in no way saying that our lives are a game. They are not a race. It's not a competition. I get that. God doesn't see them that way. Neither did Paul. If that was the case, God would not have sent Jesus if that was the case. His one and his only son, that never would have happened if this was all sort of a game or some sort of match, right? No, but what Paul is doing is that his love for sports and the Corinthians' love for sports, he's using something familiar to instruct them. Remember, these guys were Greeks, these Corinthians. The Greeks, you know, the Greeks, the ones that created the summer games that we're supposed to be watching right now, like, you know, like those guys, they love sports. The Greeks and the Romans had huge coliseums built up to watch these feats of strength and these athletes compete. They loved it, which is just another reason why them and us are a lot alike. We too have built giant coliseums to watch sport, haven't we? Paul's instructions to the Corinthians in this letter was, hey, just don't aimlessly run around happy to just be competing. No, you play to win the game. You're not out there running for exercise. You are running to finish the race. Now, if we were talking about life, if we were talking about the Christian life, the Christian journey, so what is it that we're trying to win? Well, in his letter, Peter tells us exactly what we are after, and it's this. At the end of the day, our prize is an inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Listen, the race we are running has a prize. Do you know that? The prize is an inheritance. One that is kept for you by God Himself. And what is that inheritance? It's a new life. A new future. A new eternity. Our competition? Our competition is not with other people. It's not. No, our competition is with our old self. It's with who we used to be. Our competition is with who we were, our old way of life, our own laziness, our own selfishness, our own pride. That's what we're competing with. Like I said before, maybe our temptation is just to receive this gift that Jesus has given us, this gift of freedom. And then just to sit back on our keisters, eat bonbons, watch soap operas. Maybe that is the That is what we will choose to do. But Paul is encouraging the Corinthians, and in that I think he's encouraging us, that this life is short. It's a blip. So get in the game. Play to win the game. And how do we win? Well, first, like we talked about last week, in the verses right before these, Paul says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. And so what is winning? We win when those that we love and our neighbors start to get in the game with us. When they start to train with us, and then they start to compete alongside of us. That's how we win. Well, how else do we win? Well, we win when our lives begin to look more and more like the life of Jesus. When we begin to walk more in the Spirit and have less reliance on ourselves, that's when we start to win. You know, we've been teaching Evelyn about the fruits of the Spirit lately. You know, Galatians 5 said what those were, right? They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And some of you guys were probably saying those along with me because you had children church songs that taught you those, right? I am winning in this race of life when you look at my life and you see those fruits start to show up. This life is a race. And since we are running, we might as well put our heads down and win. Winning takes more than just showing up. Winning takes work. Winning takes effort. Winning takes practice. All right, Coach Kerr? Winning takes practice? You don't just show up on game day, right? I'm assuming, guys. I mean, there's athletes in here. You don't just show up and then win. I mean, you might if your name's Colby, right? I mean, but you win by practice, by effort, by hard work. And so that brings us to number two, which is we train with discipline. We train with discipline. Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Now think about this. Before you were in Christ, before you started journeying with Jesus, right, you were a slave. The Bible says that you were a slave. In fact, the Bible says you're going to be a slave to one of two things. You're going to be a slave to you, your sinful nature, you're going to sin, to death. That you're going to be a slave to that, or you're going to be a slave to Jesus. Which one do you want to be? Right? That's what the Bible says. You were a slave. You were a slave to self, a slave to sin, a slave to death. However, when you gave your life to Jesus, He set you free. You are no longer bound by sin, by shame, by selfishness. When you were baptized into Jesus, when you went into the water and you came back a new person, your old self died and your sinful nature lost its power. Thank God that's the case. Unfortunately, how easy is it to slip back into our old sinful ways, our old nature, if we don't train differently? Now think about the times when you have been good. Like you've been eating well, you've been exercising, you've been getting good rest, and all of a sudden, like, you're losing weight, you're feeling energetic, you're feeling good, and then you're like, yeah, this is good. And then, like, the holiday season rolls around, and you're like, arr! I mean, it just comes to a screeching halt, you start eating whatever you want, you go to parties, you do other things, you stay up late, you're wrapping presents, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, what happens? Boom, you're right back to where you were before all that, right? It's just what happens? What happens after that? You know, Tom Landry, the famous ball coach, said, the secret to winning is constant, consistent management. Joe Torre, who was a pretty lousy manager when he managed my team, but then after that he went on to manage the Yankees and he won a few championships, right? I don't know what happened to that when he was here, but we'll talk about that later. He said, competing at the highest level is not about winning. It's about preparation, courage, understanding, and nurturing your people and heart. Winning is the result. Verse 25 says it this way, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Listen, if we define winning this race called life, this competition, if we define winning as growing in our relationship with Jesus, as possessing and producing fruit of the Spirit, and by spreading the good news of Jesus, the question naturally becomes, well, how do we get more of those things, those winning things, into my life? How do I get more of that in my life? Well, listen, Albert Pujols, he didn't just pick up a bat and start hitting home runs, right? Walter Payton didn't just strap on pads and start running for touchdowns. Steph Curry didn't just start running down the court and hitting threes. That's not how this works. In the same way, when it comes to our faith, we don't just all of a sudden start winning people to Jesus. We don't just get the fruits of the Spirit. We don't just have a closer, more personal relationship with Jesus. What do we have to do? Well, we have to work, and we have to work hard. The question becomes, what motivates you to maintain your discipline inside your freedom of Christ? How do we prevent our faith from just being lip service? How do we avoid our old ways and our old habits? The answer is, we train. We begin to train with discipline. And if we want to go deeper in our relationship with Him, with Jesus, then we have to put in the work. We train with discipline by training in the disciplines. You know that there are disciplines when it comes to the Christian faith? There are. What are they? Well, Richard Foster, in his work called A Celebration of Discipline, it's a masterpiece. You should give it a read sometime. A Celebration of Discipline breaks them down, four items, into three different categories. And those are the inward disciplines, that's the first category, which is meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. The second category is outward disciplines, which are inward realities resulting in outward lifestyles. And those are simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And the third category is the corporate disciplines, which are what we're doing here, when we gather corporately. And those are confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. So how many of us are doing those 12 things? Anybody? Doing all 12? No, I am either. Well, how many of us are doing any of those things? Can I make a suggestion? How about you just take one or two of those things and work on them? And if you want to know how to do that, I'd love to talk to you about that. We can talk about it. If you don't even know what those are, we can talk about that. Take one or two, do them, be disciplined about it, and see what happens. Listen, I'm going to bump up my prayer life. I convicted myself with this. My prayer life, I pray. Pray with the kids, you know, I pray while I'm preparing sermons, but man, I've kind of gotten away from, like, the first thing I do in the morning is to spend 15, 20 minutes praying. I need to do that. I need to, sometime in the morning, I need to spend some solid time in prayer. And I'm telling you, if I do that consistently, my relationship with Jesus is going to grow. I mean, how could it not? If I spend 15 minutes, 20 minutes a morning talking with Jesus, don't you think you're going to get closer? I do. The third way that we win is that we run with purpose in each step. Tom Landry also said, a winner never stops trying. Emmett Smith said, for me, winning isn't something that happens suddenly on the field when the whistle blows and the crowds roar. Winning is something that builds physically and mentally every day that you train and every night that you dream. Verse 26 says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. Friday, I didn't tell her I was going to tell this, so sorry, wife. Heather had a minor surgery on Friday, or minor procedure. It was outpatient. It wasn't a big deal. But we were sitting there getting ready for her to go back, and the doctor was late and blah, 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 blah. And you know how all that goes. And so then in came this tech, and she had to draw blood from Heather to make sure that everything was right before everything. And she she came in, and on her ID badge was a little picture, a little round bullet picture or whatever, of a baby. And when Heather saw the baby, she thought, well, that looks like Elijah. Because her baby was born at 24 weeks, just like Elijah, was in the NICU at 1 pound, 6 ounces, just like Elijah. And so Heather says, hey, was your child, obviously he was, but your child was in the NICU? And this lady said, yeah. And Heather said, oh, well, we had a baby in the NICU too. And this lady said, yeah, he lived for a couple days. And then we lost him. And Heather, I mean, instantly, she just did what Heather does, you know? And she started, immediately she said, hey, we're gonna pray, like, my husband and I, she didn't say, like, hey, we're ministers, we're gonna pray for you. And I'm so sorry. And they had some conversation about how you know, Elijah was the same, and thank God that the problems that they had and the problems that they had, and they just had this common ground, and they just kind of hit it off, and Heather was just like, listen, we love you, and we're gonna pray for you, and I'm so sorry. And they started talking about mental health and all that. It was just this moment where you're like, now here's the deal. My wife, up to this point, she was nervous. She was struggling herself, not because of anything, but she was just having some anxiety and some. So the easy thing to do, here's the easy thing to do. Let the lady draw some blood. Don't say anything. That's the easy thing to do. But Heather did some hard work. And at the end, they were like, man, I wish we could hug each other, but that's totally inappropriate with COVID. Inappropriate anyway. But, you know, she's like, and so we just said, you know, for this lady, you know, and hopefully we made a difference in her life for Jesus. But how does that happen? How do you do that? How are you able to take maybe your anxiety and your fear and your hesitation and your struggle and take that and turn it into something that blesses somebody else? Well, how do you do that? You just don't accidentally do that. You don't. What you start to see is that every step has to have purpose. And every interaction has to have just drops of grace in it. And I hope and I pray that somehow, some way, I mean, both this lady and my wife are crying, and you know, while Heather's waiting for surgery. We hope and we pray that somehow that her life was touched for Jesus. Like I said last week, the world is literally burning all around us. We have the water. We have the living water to quench the world's thirst, to put the fires out. We have it. Jesus is the answer. We have the answer that everyone is looking for. So let's not mess around, please. Let's run with purpose. Let's play to win. Let's make our relationships count with our spouses, with our children, with our family, and with our friends. Let's be purposeful. Let's stop talking about the weather or what you had for dinner. Let's get real with each other. Let's be purposeful with our conversations. with our interactions, with our lives, I'm guessing that there are probably some people that need you, for you, that are begging for you to be purposeful with them, to be purposeful in their life. They are drowning and they need a lifeboat that you have. Their household is on fire and they need someone to bring them a hose. Listen, stop being surface level. Start living with purpose. Jude 22 and 23 says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire." Run with purpose. Snatch people from the fire. And finally, remember, God wins. Just don't disqualify yourself. Babe Ruth said that yesterday's home runs don't win today's games. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, "I try to do the right thing at the right time. They may be little things, but usually they make a difference between winning and losing." I was reading a commentary this week and I came across this. It says, "Big as he was, poor Goliath never had a chance. He was going up not against little David, but against the Lord of hosts, God of the armies of Israel. And it was the Lord who did all the doing in that contest through little David." Listen, let me tell you the end of the book. Let me tell you the end of the story. Let me play spoiler for you. God wins. At the end, God wins. He always does. Always. He won the battle for us at the cross. He won the battle for us with the empty tomb. He wins the battle for us for all of eternity when Jesus comes back again and takes us home. God wins. He does. Goliath, he stood no chance. Satan, he's not going to rule hell for all of eternity, right? That's not the gig. He and his demons are going to be banished to hell where they will be punished with much agony and gnashing of teeth. They're not two equals battling each other. God wins every time. Please, church, run with purpose. Be disciplined. Run to win the prize. And don't let yourself be disqualified. Matthew 7:22-23 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So how do we know Jesus? Well, we have a relationship with him. We grow in our knowledge and time spent with him. And after we get to know him, after we start this race, we then start to train and practice the things that he has asked us to do. At the end of the day, when we have run our races with purpose and with meaning, in such a way to receive the prize, then 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8 applies to us, which says, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return." And the prize is not just for me, but for all. That's you and me. Who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Church, let's get in the game. Let's run with purpose. Let's put out fires and save the world
through Jesus.